This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now, when somebody dies, what do we do? When somebody dies, khalas, we receive the news, what do we do? Very good. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's the first thing you say. After that, you start looking for taghseel, washing. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we must wash the dead. The Muslim, we must wash him. But these are the people you cannot wash. The dead in the battlefield. Those who were fighting or they received... death came to them through an enemy. An enemy. That person, you just cover him or her and bury them. Children, women... let them with their blood. Because in the day of judgment, inshallah, we should think of them that they have died as martyrs. And martyrs will come with the same way they died. They resurrect the same way they died. If they have been blown up from their faces, their hands cut off, their feet, they will come like that. The color of the blood, but the smell of the musk. The color of the blood, but not the smell of the blood. You know, blood smells in a certain way. It's not how it will gush with Allah, beautiful smell. Everybody will say, what type? That's the smell of shaheed so and so. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تغسلوهم. Don't wash these people. These people, you should not wash them. فإن كل جرحٍ أو كل دم يفوح مسكا يوم القيامة. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't wash these people who die with an enemy form of death, like bombing, like arrows, like crushing them, like whatever they do to them, torturing them, they die under torture whatsoever. Because every wound and every blood that comes out from them will be gushing with misk, inshallah. How to wash a dead person? Quickly. Number one, before we wash the person, who should wash? We said, who should wash? We bring somebody from the bar and we tell him, please come. Haji who is in the bar, please come. No, we go to the masjid. Alhamdulillah, we go to the masjid. And remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that the people who go frequently to masjid, witness for them that they are mu'mins. He said, you should think that people who go to the masjid regularly, that they are good Muslims. So we go to the masjid, alhamdulillah, and we ask people to come and... for example, the imam. The imam is the best one to wash people. A learned, scholarly person, a good person in the community, in the family, an elder. He or she, it depends on who is the deceased. A female should be washed by females, and male should be washed by males. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام ليغسل موتاكم المأمونون. Let those who are trustworthy among you wash your dead. Those who are trustworthy, they are truthful in the deen and this and that. How to wash is by putting a person on a high place, like a table, and wash his body by starting from the head and going to the toe. When you come to the belly, press. So the dirt will come out. And of course, as I explained last time, you clean that. And then put all kind of detergent and soap and perfume and this and that after you wash one more time. So it's not like you do the wudu and this and that. No, you just wash. And a lot of water. The water, better to be warm. It's not necessity. It's better to be warm. Not very cold and not very hot. If a woman dies and she has a long hair, Brits. We open them. And after we wash her hair, we put them back to three. One, two, three. One, two in the back, and three. We put them back. Just two or three. Like, we put one here. If she has long hair. If she has short hair, that's another thing. We also talked about if somebody, we cannot really wash his body. For example, burned, like burned people who die in a fire. Those people, you cannot really wash because the moment you start washing, the flesh starts falling. Or they have a disease that there are people who are sick with that disease that flesh starts coming out. So in this case, what do? We do tayammum for them. We touch stone on their hands and we wipe their faces. That's all. And then we bury them. Can a woman wash her husband? Definitely. But preferably, if there are men, she let men wash him. And vice versa. Can a man wash his wife? Yes. But if there are women, it's better that the sisters take care of her body. It is wajib to do kafan. Now, obligation of kafan. Now, how many of us have prepared their kafan? It's a good question. How many of us said, okay, this cloth to prepare, to please, this perfume, which is non-alcoholic, is for me to go to Allah Azza wa Jal. And it has to be very moderate, not very expensive. Because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the first thing that gets old on you is your kafan. It's the first thing that gets old. As soon as we put the person in the grave, if we open 5-10 minutes later, you find his clothes, so you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked to see how a person looks. It's sunnah that it's white. Sunnah, it is sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is highly recommended that the cloth should be white. The kafan should be white. Old or new doesn't matter. No problem. You know some people, alhamdulillah, they keep their ihram. Some men, they keep their ihram and say, please, when I die, put me in my ihram. The thing that I made Hajj or Umrah with, bury me. No problem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ilbasu min thiyabikumul bayad. When you put cloth, he said, put white. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ خَيْرِ ثِيَابِكُمْ. It's the best cloth you can ever put is white. White t-shirt, white qamis, like brother, mashallah, Ismail. Like that brother, handsome brother, takbir. The white is the best cloth you can ever put. And he said, also put it as kafan when you die. So not only in during life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wear white, especially on Friday. And they asked him, O Messenger of Allah, whenever we see you with the white, you cry. Why? He said, it reminds me the day of my departure. Subhanallah. How many of us, when we put clothes, we laugh? Oh, look at me, handsome. Huh? Oh, wow. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Keep looking at that. Oud. You know the oud, right? The oud is a beautiful creation of Allah, wood, that when you burn it, it makes sand. It's good also that you put oud, your kafan, you put on oud before you put it on someone. So you burn that oud, and then you take that kafan, let the oud goes into it. It gives good smell when you put it, because hey, it's a soul too. The soul is coming back there. As soon as we put the person in, the soul will come back and he's going to be questioned. So at least, yahi, you're going to meet somebody very important. How do you... You're going to meet two angels in that grave, so you better look good. Maybe your actions are quite bad, but you're looking to at this moment is quite good. We said no kafan of harir, no kafan of silk. No kafan, even for women, who are allowed to wear silk. But there is no point, sister. There is no point. Look at the house. It's just dirt and dirt from every side, corner. And then dirt on you. This is dunya. This is the dunya that we fight for and God forbids, you know, hate for. And this is all you can get from it. One block of dirt under you, one on your right-hand side, one on the left, and more dirt on you. This is it. This is the dunya. So please, don't let the dunya blind you. Enjoy it. But don't let the dunya take all of your energy. Because this dunya, let me tell you about the dunya a little bit. This dunya, sisters and brothers, please pay attention. I know it's quite tiring. This dunya, the more you ignore it, the more it runs after you. Pay attention. Dunya, the more you turn away from it, the more it starts coming to tempt you. It starts opening doors. And subhanAllah, the more you run after it, you get nothing from it. You get nothing but problems, headaches. So, run to Allah, you will see the dunya running after you. You run after the dunya, it gives you this much, but takes the best of you. For example, your youth. The dunya takes all of your energy and your youth and drop you like a dead skin of an orange. It takes all the juice from you. This is the dunya. And then by the time you realize, oh my God, 40, 50 years of my life has gone. There are so many things I cannot do now because I could have done when I was young. Salat. After we do the kafan, we prepare the person. Now we look for salat. But we said the best salat is after dhuhr or asr. After dhuhr or asr. So that more people can attain the ajr and can attend the funeral too. Salat is like this. These are the conditions of salat. Number one, all the conditions of the regular salat must be observed for the Salat al-Janazah. Meaning, I have to have wudu. I cannot just come and say, Allahu Akbar. No, salat is a prayer. So I have to make wudu for it. If I had wudu before, fine. As long as I have wudu, I'm fine. So I can pray. Number two, covering your private part. Men, at least from their belly button up to their knees, and women, all of their body except face and hands. Meaning, a woman cannot go to a funeral like this. You know, those cars that have convertible hijab, no, not accepted. The convertible hijab like this, you know when a sister does like this?
Pakistan.
Yeah, like Malays too.
Malay.
Why you go far? Okay, this hijab, sisters?
Iranian.
This hijab? No. Arab, so many Arab ladies too. Why you go far? We are all same. So, sisters at least. So whatever is required for salat, she has to. She cannot say, well, this is just salat janazah. No, sister, cover. It's salat. You're standing before Allah. Cover. Okay. Number three, we must face the Qibla. So these are the three conditions of Salat. We must have wudu, state of purity. We must cover all our awra for men, at least men. And when I say at least, by the way, you don't take it lightly. You say, oh, I can take off my t-shirt and pray. No, you cannot do that. Meaning, if you have nothing to cover, cover on at least your belly button to your... You know, there are some people like that, poor people, very poor people. There are people like that on the street. They can attend janazah. You cannot stop them, say, hey, no, you cover our... As long as he is covered from here to here. But a noble person or alhamdulillah person who has, say, no, I want to pray. No, you cannot do that. For sisters, we explained. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sallu ala sahibikum. He called it prayer. He said, Sallu on your brother. Pray for him. Pray salat al-janazah for this man. What are the conditions? So we mentioned the conditions. Now what are the wajibs? What are the wajibs of Salat al-Janazah? Number one, standing up. For those who can, you must stand. For every Salat actually, you should do your level best to stand up. Unless you are very sick. If you are sick, then sit down. Number two, the niyyah. So standing up. You stand up for what? Which salat? Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha? Say niyat, Salat al-Janazah. In your heart, I'm praying now, Salat al-Janazah. Number three, Al-Fatiha. Recitation of Al-Fatiha is fard is compulsory. Number two, alhamdu wa thana, praising Allah Azza wa Jal so much in the prayer. Salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the four takbirat, dua and salam. Very simple. No ruku' no sujood. Subhanallah. Salat al-janazah, no even ruku' and sujood. No bowing and no prostration. Why? Take the man to Allah, quick. Take. No ruku' no sujood. وَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً لَا رُكُوعَ لَهَا وَلَا سُجُودَ لَهَا. As the poet said. And they have made salat on me. Beautiful poetry by a person who imagined death, that he already died, and he said, look, they, when I departed this world, they even prayed on me a salat without even ruku' and sujood. Even my salat was short. And my wife got married after me. My children forgot about me. My money was divided. What did I do to myself to leave this world without coming closer to Allah? It's a beautiful poetry that can ring a bell when a person is. I did all this, and the first thing my wife did after 4 months and 10 days, she remarried. My children ceased to mention my name. My property has been already divided. And what did I do? Look what did I do. I didn't even get some good deeds to take with me. Everything I did, I left it behind me. So even the prayer, it tells you something that, hey, no ruku' no sujood. It's not like dhuhr or asr. Or even fajr, 2 rak'ah. No. Yalla. Now, if somebody has been buried without Salat al-Janazah? It's a good question. Sheikh, we buried somebody without Salat al-Janazah. What to do? People didn't know, or they were panicked. You know, it can happen that some jahil people, they don't know. They buried somebody. Now what should we? Should we dig him out and listen to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Everything is mentioned in Quran and Sunnah. It's just we don't make research. Everything is mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. If somebody has been buried and nobody has prayed on him, we go to his grave and pray. Very simple. We don't have to dig his grave or her grave and get them out. We just go to the grave and pray that. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that. And he did it even for Najashi, the king, the king that I talked to you about. When the Prophet ﷺ heard the news that he was buried without nobody praying for him. So Rasulullah ﷺ prayed from far. He was in Medina, and the man was buried in Eritrea, another country. So he prayed Salat al-Janazah on him. There are special du'as that we leave them now for the sake of time, that you say, but mainly if you know no dua, keep asking that Allah forgives and gives rahmah, forgives maghfirah and rahmah to the deceased. Allahumma ghfir lahu warhamhu, Allahumma ghfir lahu warhamhu. If you know no dua, if you know a lot of dua, then read them. Can we make dua in English, in Malay, in Chinese? Yes, by all means, no problem. By all means. No, outside the salat, yes.